Our sponsor for this month is Lily K Designs. Through landscapes, rich colors, and soft lighting, she strives to capture in her paintings this feeling of joy, nostalgia, and an indescribable ache that we experience when we see something truly beautiful. When hope, joy, and attention to detail intersect within a painting, there, the beauty of our world can be rediscovered through the lens of an artist. From looming mountains to clear blue lakes to even a beloved well-used swing, she creates and captures this interpretation of nostalgia, whimsy, and joy combined within the subject that is presented. She dabbles in a bit of everything with her art. She uses a variety of mediums, and she also creates custom paintings. Something that I've found really interesting with her work is her custom paintings, primarily landscapes and places that have become special for her clients. Whether she's painting a special location that your family returns to and visit year after year, that you want to have that permanent memory of in a beautiful painting on your wall, or a beautiful wood that your children play in. Her clients leave with an artistic rendition of a place that means something very special to them. She creates custom pieces within a thick gallery-wrapped canvas so that it is ready to hang on the wall with no frame required. And the thicker gallery canvas provides a sturdy and durable quality to the painting. Each painting is sealed with varnish that will preserve the painting for years to come. She also does art lessons if you have a student that you would like to contact her about. You can find out more about her artwork by going to her website at lilykdesigns.com. That's lilykdesigns.com. Or by reaching out to her on Instagram at lilykdesigns.
Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling.
Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I'm here with everybody to talk about books. It's the book episode, the one you've all been waiting for. Everyone loves the book episode. Everyone's so excited whenever we post this one. And I'm always really excited to talk about books. So I've never talked about it with all of you at the same time, though. And that I am super pumped for. So we're going to get down to business because we only have so much time before all the dads and children downstairs spontaneously combust. So... Let's go through categories. How about we do, okay, let's in our mind, divide this up into categories of fiction, nonfiction, Christianity applied. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that make sense?
And this is just books we've read in
2024.
Okay. So listeners, I didn't catch that memo.
Yeah.
So I am.
You could just pretend like you read all these in 2024.
So I might.
It can be breezed.
No one's going to know what I actually read.
No.
So I'm just going to try to guesstimate what I read.
For Bree's honesty's sake, she may not have read these in 2024.
It may have been 2023. Okay. Sorry.
Okay. Let's, what do you guys want to do first?
Fiction.
Fiction? Ooh, that's fun. You're starting out with the funnest one. Well, fiction is my favorite, not Becky's favorite.
I have actually read far more fiction.
Really?
That not more fiction than nonfiction, but more fiction than in years past.
Okay. So, did you enjoy it?
I did.
Good.
Actually, I lost some sleep, though.
Okay.
It's hard.
It's a lot easier with nonfiction or Christianity applied, things like that, to say, okay, I'm going to read a couple of chapters and then I'm going to be done.
Yeah.
But with fiction,
yeah, that's why it's so fun.
And you just, who is it?
So we're in an upstairs room right now, and just were met with a one-year-old who came all the way upstairs. And then dad quickly behind her.
And he was behind her with the biggest eyes I've ever seen.
Sorry.
This is good for our listeners to hear how normal wife and husband dynamics are. And be patient with your husbands because they're not moms.
Okay. No,
they're not moms and they're not meant to be moms.
No, they're dads.
And the kids will get up the stairs. Belle's cried like 10 times, and every time I'm like, what did she do now? She busted her head again.
Okay, fiction. Becky, let's hear your fiction.
Okay.
Since this was a growth year for you.
It was a growth year for me. So I'm still trying to figure out what fiction I like, because for me, I want reading to be productive. And so that's a brain shift for me, is learning that fiction books are also productive. Mm-hmm. So
in a different way.
In a different way. It's been a learning curve for me. So what I've done is my sister Kathy is a bookworm. Mm. She reads through books so quickly. So she's been giving me some recommendations this year. So two that she gave me were more of like the realistic fantasy kind of.
That is called magical realism.
Okay.
It's my favorite.
Okay. I was like, I feel like that's really where yeah. yours is. But they were called Dust and Shadow. And I think it's called like Heirs of Neverland.
The library never got those in for me.
They didn't?
No. I tried to request them and they never come in.
That's weird. I half read, half did audio, just kind of. Dust and Shadow.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you the author. I'm really sorry to whoever wrote them. You did a good job. But they took, and this sounds really childish and funny, but they kind of, I don't know, the adventure in it. I think that's where I land, is I like the adventure fiction books, like the adventure, trying to figure out some mystery too, but I don't like scary mystery. I cannot do anything scary. A little bit of a pansy and it's okay.
Not even a thriller?
No.
Okay.
No, my brain can't handle it. I will dumpster dive too much and I feel bad for the characters and I just want to cry. So I have to be really careful what kinds of ones I go with, but I enjoyed those. They were probably on my upper end of tolerance, but I liked them. And then my sister also recommended the Timeless series by Gabrielle Meyer. And I do not like romance books at all.
What?
But these ones it's written by a Christian author, and they're not spicy. They're not.
Oh, I don't like spicy. I do love romance.
And I also don't like sap.
Do you like romantic movies?
It depends.
Okay.
It depends on the movie. But
I'm learning things here.
Sorry.
No, I like it. I get to know you better.
But I enjoyed that series. I'm on book three now. So basically, you will probably like these two, Jordan. So they are, up until the 21st birthday, they're time travelers. And they function in parallel lives in two different time periods. And then on the eve of their 21st birthday, they stay up past midnight, past in whatever life they want to remain in. So they have to choose which path they're going to take.
By the time they're 21.
By the time they're 21.
It's a big decision.
And again, there's Christian themes woven throughout. And the way she writes just wraps you in. So I really...
I'm already in.
I like them. You'll like them too.
So you own them?
No, I just checked them out through the library. But they're really good. I liked them a lot. Let's see. I'm trying to think. I think those might... I can't remember if those are my only fiction ones this year. But those are my top fiction.
All right. I also branched out in fiction this year, per recommendations of a friend. And these two books, they're like youth books, but I had never read them before because of Winn Dixie and Tiger Rising. Have you guys read them?
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I didn't read the Tiger
Rising. So sweet. Yeah. I'd never read them. And it just pulls you into this really sweet, wholesome world. And I love them both. And just, I'm trying to think of like how I even describe them. Just a very complete story. You just, mm-hmm. It's very enjoyable from start to finish. Those are Kate
DiCamillo.
Is that how you say it? Okay. A really good magical realism book that I read was How to Stop Time by Matt Haig. It was not a Christian author, so I think there's a little bit of curse words. So if you're going to read this with a child, there is some curse words at the end. Not a ton, but there's a few. I just read The Best Christmas Pageant Ever.
Had you never read that one?
Nope, never read it before. And Mallory recommended it on the band app. Yeah. And I read that one out loud to the boys and we all loved it. I'm excited to see the movie. I wrote down Ransom's List. Jared curates his reading for school. This is the first year that we've done that. Up until fifth grade, we just kind of reading books together. He's reading some stuff on his own, but he's never had like a full curated reading list that Jared or I put together for him. And Jared has done this for each grade from now till when he graduates, and he's always adding to it. But his reading book list for this year, he's read Hatchet and the first few books of the Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh, yeah.
And then as a family, I've been reading out loud The Wild Robot, We finished the first one of that and are reading the second one, and it's so, so good. Have you guys read it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I haven't read that one. I heard you talk about it, but I haven't read that one
yet. It is very, very, very good. I loved The Wild Robot. And then we watched the movie, which was not nearly as good, but still a very fun movie to watch as a family. There's three of those in that series, The Wild Robot, The Wild Robot Returns, and The Wild Robot Protects, I think is the third one. So we're very deep in that right now. We're also on the fourth Wing Feather Saga, about to finish that series. I've been talking about that for years, but we've just been slowly reading out loud those books in the evenings, and that's been really, really fun too. What else did I read?
Our sponsor for this month is Indigo Sundries. Indigo Sundries Soap Company is a Christian, family-owned, and operated small business that has been making soap for over 20 years. All of their products are free from seed oils, parabens, phthalates, petroleums, preservatives, and sulfates. They offer a large variety of scented soaps using premium fragrances, and also a selection of essential oil-only soaps for people with more crunchy convictions, as well as several non-scented soap options such as four different clay soaps, calendula, and talabar. All made with their proprietary recipe, the result is long-lasting cleansing and moisturizing bars of soap that will leave your skin feeling great. Plus, they offer liquid soaps, room sprays, and beard products as well. I personally got a bar of their soap this summer at a conference and absolutely fell in love with them. I hope you try them out. You can use a coupon code FRUITFUL10 to receive 10% off your order.
Okay, so I got sucked into a Karen Kingsbury book this year.
Mm. Did you?
Yes, The Baxters. Have you read that one?
No.
Okay. Was it you that told me about Karen Kingsbury? Okay, someone recommended it, and I know she's like total sap, like it's Karen Kingsbury. Have you ever read
anything? I haven't read it. Okay. I don't think, but I know who you're talking about.
Okay, well, I just read The Baxters this year. It was the only run for me. I was done after that, but I did read it. Yeah. And I understand why people love them. I mean, it is a page turner. You can't stop reading it whenever you start, but it's just not my style. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I want someone to have magical powers or something.
She's got to be way out there.
Yeah.
I will say, I did read Anne of Green Gables for the first time this year. I grew up watching the movies.
Oh, yeah.
But I enjoyed that one.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
And
there's a ton of those.
I did not realize how many there were, but I did enjoy that one. I think I was in a stressful season, and there's a lot of really sweet things that you can take away from Anne, and it wraps you in, but not like, oh my gosh, I can't stop reading this. It's just very sweet.
Okay.
And she just has she has a really good demeanor, really good personality.
Okay.
I enjoy her books too, but she's one of those, I don't know, more mild storyline.
Okay.
Yeah, I like those ones. I did like that book.
I'm going to go ahead and share the other books on Ransom's list just while I have this pulled up. So Jared is having them read, having Ransom read Boyhood and Beyond and Made for Work. Those are both by the same author, and Everyday Battles. All three of those are by the same author. And then The Chronicles of Narnia, Hatchet. He also read a biography of Stonewall Jackson and the Redwall series. So those are his for this year. I just thought I'd share those in case anyone has a fifth grader and they would like to hear.
And he reads those on his own?
Yes, those are his. And then he writes a paper in response when he finishes.
When did you start him writing papers?
This year.
Mm-hmm. Fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say we're doing all fiction right now?
Right now it's fiction.
Okay. So I have three authors I just have to blanket recommend. I love World War II books, and I love World War II fiction and nonfiction, and really just everything about the time period. So one of my recommendations for the author, most of her books are in that vein. They have a little bit of romance. There's always some kind of mystery or something that needs to be solved, and it's like World War II era. Her name is Sarah Sundin, and she's phenomenal. The other author, she always has an air of mystery. There's a little bit of romance, but a lot of mystery. Colleen Coble. And these are all Christian authors. So, you know, there's nothing sketchy in them. You're not coming across curse words or anything like that. And then the romance novelist that I love to read, she has these super sweet stories. And it's usually someone who is a Christian meeting someone who has stepped away from the faith or is going through a tumultuous time. And she weaves these really beautiful redemption stories from really hard times and past, and shows the Lord's grace and mercy and kindness to people. And they're not heavy books, but they're sweet, and they always have sweet endings, and it always, she always brings her characters through to the light, essentially, at the end. Her name is Ashton Newbold, and she's, I think she's like 25, and just writes really sweet. You'd probably like her. Yeah. The book I would start with, if you go with her, is Lord Blackwell's Promise. I've read that book 3 times this year. You know, like, because it is so good, and I love the characters so much. As far as mystery, if you want something that's a little bit darker, but also a Christian author, she dives a little bit into the eerie side of things, and there's always a logical explanation, but at the time it's kind of like, is this a ghost? Is this a spirit? Like, is there something going on? But there's always a logical explanation, but it twists your brain. Her name is Jamie Jo Wright. I always say JJ. And the best book I've read by her is this year is Souls of Lost Lake. Shania, Becky's sister-in-law, and I read it, and it boggled both of us. We read it at different times, and it's a really good book. And then a sweet little Christmas book I just read by, I think she's a Christian author. Her name's Mimi Matthews. It's Holiday by Gaslight. And the other thing I was going to say is that a lot of these are set in the Regency time period, so everything is very fancy and proper and feels sweet. So the romance is especially sweet because there's not this, well, on her, this message on her iPhone popped up. You know,
yes. Yeah.
Yes, they're at dances and they're courting. It's so sweet.
That's how the Timeless series is, and I liked that. I liked that aspect of it.
Yes.
That's fancy.
Okay.
Is it me for
fun? Yes.
Okay, so again, I don't really know exactly if I've read these this year, but I know, like, so Out Louds, I know we finished Farmer Boy from the Little House on the Prairie series.
Such a good book.
We're doing Narnia now. We're on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We're almost done with that. And then we'll go to, what's the next one? I forget, the third in the series.
Ooh.
Anyway, we're reading that one out loud. We read The Little Pilgrim's Progress, and I love that. I cry through it. I think we finished. Oh, wait.
Oh, Little
Christians. Like the Little Christian.
As a little rabbit.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. So there's the one who does the Wing Feather Saga artwork. He does the artwork for The Pilgrim's Progress.
Is it Joe, what is it? Joe Sutphin?
Something like that. That sounds right. Yeah. Yes. Sounds right.
Oh, that one's really good.
Yeah. So those have been our recent read alouds. I'm trying to think. A lot of our other read alouds have been like about Albert Einstein or Isaac Newton or, you know, something like that. And then I finished, so I read my first Francine Rivers books because, you know, everybody talks about it. And I was like, I want to see what all the rave is. So I picked like one that wasn't popular because that's just my love. That was just my personality. Someone gave me Redeeming Love and I started and I quit because I just didn't have time to read a fiction. And that's controversial, I hear, but I don't know. I haven't read it. But I did enjoy her books. I actually did. I read Her Daughter's Dream and Her Mother's Hope, which is a 2-part series. And it was pretty good. I cried and stuff. It was heavy, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you come from like a past of abuse, which I have seen a lot in my family, it was a little much at times because she gets pretty, not detailed, like you shouldn't be reading it. It's just, she's not scared to go there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a little, it was heavy for me. And then I'm trying to think, there was more fiction that I read because that wasn't it. That wasn't all of them. But I read Where the Crawdads Sing.
Oh,
was that good? That was very good.
Yeah, it was very good.
Someone tried to take me to that movie postpartum, and I read the book story, first. And I thought, that's not my time.
Yeah, no, read the book first.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's more. Anora's been doing, so she's been in A Boxcar Kick.
Ooh.
She's in third grade. And when we have assigned reading, we do it out loud. So like the assigned books are Narnia, The Little House on the Prairie books, Pilgrim's Progress. Those were our big assigned ones for this year so far. But otherwise, I just let her pick books because she'll fly through them.
Mm.
So Boxcar Kids is one that I know she's been going through several different ones of those. She's read lots of those this year. I don't even know.
It's such a good series.
I don't even
have mine in the closet.
She's read so many books. Do you have like all of them, the whole set?
I have a ton of them.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's over 100. I don't think I have them all, but I have probably this many.
Yeah. So if Honora ever wants to borrow,
she's like me and her dad, because she has like 4 books going at one time. And Boxcar is always one of those. And I can't even think of the other ones that she's picked. I mean, I know she's read like classics like Alice in Wonderland and Pinocchio and stuff, but I can't remember which she's read recently.
Who loves Tintin?
Tintin.
Okay. No, yeah. It's definitely a, if you have a little boy, it will like speak to their heart. Him and Valor both love it, but he reads Tintin like crazy, but it's written like a comic book. It's old. It's like, I don't know. I'd have to look it up. Maybe from the 50s, but it's a comic, and it's a young boy, and he fights crime, and he has a friend, an older guy that's like a sailor or something, and he helps him, and it's very good. He's like always saving the day,
and it's
he has
a comic gun, like, and style.
Sounds so good.
She loves comics. I do not like comics. Our Science has a lot of comics by Max Axiom. That's the character. And I just can't stand comics, but my kids do love them, so I try to read them.
Oh, the 20s. So Tintin originated in the 20s, the 1920s.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I bet that is good.
Very good.
Comics. Is it one book or?
No, there's lots.
Okay. Cool.
They said comics are really good to read for your mind. Like I can't even, you just look it up. Google it, guys, on scientifically what it does to your mind. But basically, it's harder to read a comic, and so if someone is reading a comic, they're going to be more fluid in the way they talk and read. So just something like that.
Jack, and I read these as a kid, but completely forgot about them until this year. We found some for Jack, and he is loving the Great Illustrated Classics.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and so we read Peter Pan. We read the King Arthur one. We started Wind in the Willows and then stopped for a bit, but we're going to pick that one back up after Christmas. We're actually reading Little Christmas Carol.
Okay.
So the writing is by Charles Dickens, just adapted for younger minds. But the author, or the illustrator, is
the same.
Joe Sutphin.
Yeah. It's so good.
I love that he doesn't take away the beauty of the original language. Like, I don't know if it's Joe that does the adaptations, but they don't take away the beauty of that original language, but it makes it understandable for little kids.
Yeah.
But every night they're like, can we read Christmas Carol? Can we read Christmas Carol? And we read A Christmas Carol together last year, and I loved it. It was the first time I'd actually read it in its entirety all the way through.
I'm reading A Christmas.
Yes.
Book. At Christmas time.
I always really do that every year. It's so fun.
I started, and I don't know anything about these authors, but I did start a Christmas book called When Christmas Came to Bethlehem by Charles Allen and Charles Willis. It's just an old book that I found at a thrift store, and it was sitting on my bookshelf, and I had just finished book 2 of the Timeless series, was waiting for the third one to come in. I thought,
perfect time.
This one looks good. Another fiction, one more fiction I did read this last year was called Set the Stars Alight by Amanda Dykes. Mm. She's also a Christian author. But I liked how she wrote. So it was taking two separate timelines and then weaving them together, but they didn't exist at the same time, but there were connections, and there was a little bit of mystery, but again, not enough to keep you up at night or give you night terrors. So but I really enjoyed that one a lot, because it was just there was mystery, but it wasn't overwhelming.
Okay, let's move on to nonfiction.
Okay, how are you separating those from nonfiction and Christian?
So
living applied.
My nonfiction are some biographies.
Okay.
And my Christian application is like Holiness by J.C. Ryle.
Okay.
And
okay.
Things like that.
Okay. And which one are we doing?
Nonfiction.
Nonfiction? But it's not specific to Christian?
No.
I'm not doing. I don't know if this would. So I'm reading the Charlotte Mason, all the volumes. Mm-hmm. I think there's like 7, and they're pretty hefty.
Are you doing it? Obviously,
she's a Christian.
Yeah.
I don't know which category.
Are you reading them in the
order?
No. And so you can get the original, or you can get the like modified edition that's like easier to read English one.
Original.
Okay. They're hard to read.
I think it's original. I don't think it's that hard. So maybe it is modified.
Okay.
I don't know. I'll have to look it up now.
Mine, I got the original first, and then I got the modified version. But I did, I read one with a group.
I think it was last year.
Yeah, it was last year when I read that.
What's the first one?
I don't know. I think
Home Education.
I think I did the second or third one with Shayna.
Yeah.
I had to school. Yeah. But it was modified.
Okay, there we go.
No.
Maybe.
She did modify
it. So it doesn't say modify, but it does say a new transcription formatted to match the original printings.
I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Okay, so you like it? Are you liking
it? Oh, yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love anything Charlotte Mason. So, like, when we first, before I ever had a Nora, I knew I wanted to homeschool, and I listened to a podcast that was actually similar, because I think there's, like, four or five women, and it was called the At Home Podcast. It's all about homeschooling, which it stopped now, but all those women followed the Charlotte Mason Ambleside method. We have a guy in our church who works at the Ambleside School in Marion. His kiddos go there, and so a lot of what we do, I mean, what we do is classical / Charlotte Mason-y. Both of those really intertwine a lot. So yeah, I'm loving that. And then we've done biographies on Isaac Newton. We're doing one on Albert Einstein right now because we're learning about physics this year in science. And I don't know if I've read any that fall into that category. So someone else go.
Okay. I read Unbroken by Laurie Lindenbrand.
It's good.
It was so unbelievably good. Oh my gosh. Yeah, World War, if you like World War II.
Yeah, I watched the movie and I read the book. And
I've not watched the movie yet. But the book was unbelievable, and I absolutely loved it. I read it with my friend, Brandy. I'm actually going to have her on the podcast to talk about it. So, like, I just wanted to, we haven't had a chance to just sit down, her and I, and, like, it's always, like, in passing, like, what about this part?
Yeah.
So, I'm actually going to do a whole episode about
such
that.
Such a good book.
But I really, really enjoy that. It's the story of Louis Zamperini. I think that might be the only one that I have that's really in that category.
So, one that I read, this was not this year. I think it was last year, but one that it's still one of my favorite Christian biographies is God's Smuggler.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Andrew. That one is incredible. Just his story of going behind the Iron Curtain was, it was just phenomenal. The other one that I'm currently reading, I haven't finished it yet, but it's called Becoming Elizabeth Elliot by Ellen Bond. And I've noticed a lot of similarities. She did her research very well, but I've noticed a lot of similarities between that one and Shaping of a Christian Family that Elizabeth Elliot wrote.
And I love that book.
So it's like her really early good. Family life?
It's just her early life. So okay. It starts with before she met Jim, and then it goes into her meeting Jim and then them getting married. And then and that's about where I'm at. Okay. They just got married, but you get a few chapters in before...
to hear about her dad.
Yeah.
Her dad.
So it's that one's been really good, and it's very easy to read. I enjoy that one a lot. It's really cool. But there's Becoming Elizabeth Elliot, and then Brandon bought me Being Elizabeth Elliot. So it's like a two-part series, both by the same author, but they're very well written, very readable. I like them a lot.
Cool.
So far.
The only one I think I read this year that could fit into this category is I read Dick Van Dyke's book called My Lucky Life in and Out of Show Business. And I grew up watching The Dick Van Dyke Show and all the shows that kind of where the guests ended up with their own shows. What's his wife's name in that show? Anyway, the Mary Tyler Moore Show. Anyway, it was such an interesting book because he's such a whole, I think he's, you know, he's probably a really nice guy, but his life, like, he cheated on his wife and, like, broke up his family and that kind of thing. He's charismatic and he's still alive. He's, like, 99 or 100.
Wow.
But I think people loved him. And him and his wife, I think, were, if I remember right from the book, ended up being friends and that kind of thing. But it was such a... I guess I'm just mentioning this book because it was such a good reminder of how thankful I am to not be in a spotlight of any kind.
Yeah.
Not that... He's not a Christian. So there was a lot in the book that I was like, well, this probably could have been avoided if the spirit, you know, if the spirit was in you. But it was such a good reminder to me that there's so much going on in people's lives that have a spotlight on them. Mm-hmm. And it was a good book. It was interesting. It was just interesting to hear his perspective about being in show business in a time that looked really wholesome. Mm-hmm. But there was so much going on that's not wholesome, you know, sin. You know, goes through all the generations.
Right.
So, but anyway, it was, if you like Dick Van Dyke, like watch him growing up, it was a fun read. He's funny. It was a good read.
On the line of what you said though, Mason's reading, I'm not reading this. He's probably already finished it. He's listening to it. It's Hillbilly Elegy by J.D. Vance.
Oh, yeah.
And Vance wrote that.
Long time ago.
Like, yeah. So this isn't like he wrote this right now, you know, or anything like that. And there is a lot of cursing, Mason said, but Mason said it's really good. And if you live in hillbilly area, you know, like if you're listening to this and you're from the city, then, well, it'd be good for you too. But if you live in a hillbilly area or you have family or you were raised in that area or you know anything about it, he said it just really hits the nail on the head with the hillbilly's problems. So if you are a hillbilly, might be an eye opener. Go look in the mirror.
We say that very lovingly because we are.
Yes. Yes. If you're not a hillbilly, it might be like, yeah, well, it's hillbillies. It might make you do that. But, you know, like, yeah, it's, he said it's good. It's a good book.
Another one that might kind of fit this category is a cookbook that I bought this year called The Healthier Home Cook by Shauna Holman.
Yes.
Becky, you have it? Do you have it?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It's a very, very good cookbook. I have liked all the things that I have made from it, and it's also very educational. So I highly recommend The Healthier Home Cook.
Even just her regular book, A Healthier Home.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Really
too.
Good,
yeah,
too.
I have that. Mm-hmm.
And following her on Instagram. Just get all her resources and follow her if you can.
I love so much.
Yeah.
Just really like her. Okay, let's move on then to like Christianity Applied type books.
Okay.
Well, we both read this one, Leadership and Emotional Sabotage by
Jeremy. Oh, I forgot we read that one. Yeah. That one was
so
really good.
I very much recommend this book if your family is in any type of leadership position. Mm-hmm. And I don't, it's just very eye-opening to some troubles that you can go through in leadership and personality types and how they respond to things. And it was just very eye-opening. I highly recommend it.
And even if you're not in the middle of something tumultuous, but reading that ahead of time, perspectives to have, things to look out for, cautions, things like that. It was really, really good.
Mm-hmm. So that book, if I'm remembering correctly, that was a Canon book. Canon Press, did they release that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the book, I think he even says, I haven't read it, but I think he even says that he got a lot of his thought from A Failure of Nerve by, did he mention that, Edwin Friedman?
Yes.
Yes, okay. And so that book, he's not a Christian. I think he was like a, I don't want to say, maybe a Jew? I don't know. He's not a Christian. And Mason says that book, though, is phenomenal. And so I always recommend anyone who's read that to read the other. Mason keeps telling me I need to read A Failure of Nerve. And I did pick it up. It's very scholarly. So it's very much, it's just scholarly. So it might be hard for some people to read. And I picked it up and it wasn't too hard to read. It was just, I think the time wasn't good for me to be reading it. I had just had Belle, I think, or I was about to have her or something. So I need to go back and
at certain times your brain looks better than others. It's just a fact of being a woman.
Yes.
Yes. But they also do these little videos on Canon Plus with Joe Rigney and I think Doug.
Okay.
I think Doug is with them. And they talk about chapters from that book that you're referencing. And they are also just really helpful. They did one about this. It's like illustrations, kind of like this man who was born with his nerves outside of his body, and everyone treated him very cautiously as to not accidentally step on one of his nerve endings that were trailing behind him. But really, the cure for him ended up being someone coming up to him and stomping the nerve endings.
Yes.
And they retreated back in, and then he was a normal person again. Yeah. But it just great illustrations of like personalities, like, okay, the person who's always upset, always getting their feelings hurt, maybe they need to be confronted directly rather than everyone tiptoeing around them.
Exactly.
So it's just really, it was very, very helpful. So we also read The Bottomless Option by Andrew Isker. Mm-hmm. We did that in the Ladies Book Club. I enjoyed it very much. Holiness by Ryle, was that this year or last year? I had it on my this year's list, but I was wondering maybe if it was last year, but I think it was the beginning of this year.
I think it was started towards the end of last year and then carried over into the new year next time, right?
So we read that. That was a weightier one that we did, but I actually really like reading Ryle. I like his little books that he has. Mm-hmm. And I thought that Holiness was good and definitely a attainable book. We read it in Ladies Book Club. And Simplified Organization by Misty Winkler. Yes. Was that this year?
That was this year.
I had it on my list. I was like, that feels like so long ago. Was it really 2024?
That was in the spring.
Yeah.
That was really good. I liked that
really wonderful and helpful book as well. I like Misty Winkler stuff. I also really like her homeschool book.
Mm-hmm. Convivial Homeschool.
Yeah.
That one's so good.
And that's all I think that's all I have on my list for those.
I had Simplified Organization on there. Such a good book. Treasuring Christ When Your Hands Are Full by Gloria Furman.
That was my
really, really good
first like mom books I read.
So good.
That's good.
Words of Cheer, and there's some other words after that, but it's by Spurgeon. It was really good. Learning Contentment, I read by Nancy Wilson. I read every January. I start at the beginning of January when everything has chilled out, and then usually I can get. It's a small book, but
everyone needs to read that book.
Yes,
read.
I think everyone reads, and I just made it my January read.
Yeah,
so
because like you said, it's simple and it's such a good message.
And I women need to hear. I need her to hit me with it every January because not that I'm in a state of discontentment in January specifically, but I just think it's a good reminder to walk into the new year with contentment because of what Christ has done for us and our attitude. Right now I'm reading Precious Remedies Against Satan's Devices by Thomas Brooks, and I've been reading it for a while because it's really small print and it's a normal size book, but the print is so small, and he doesn't write. He writes in like bullet points and like A, B, C, like numbers and letters. So it's a little trickier to get through. But that has been a good read. Earlier this year, I read Why Children Matter by Doug Wilson, which was a great, great book. And then I'm almost finished with The Life-Giving Home by Sally Clarkson.
Me too.
So good. I just love her writing, and my personality is not the same as hers in a lot of ways, and I just love how sweet and calm she is, and I know she's gone through a lot, and it's just so calming to listen to her talk and speak, and how she speaks life into her kids, and how she did that in her home and made her home a magical place because of Christ, and she just inspires me in so many ways.
Sweet. I always have, like you said earlier, Brie, I have a rotation and I have different books in each category that I'm always reading. So I usually have like a Christianity Applied book, and then I'll have a fiction book now. Thanks to you. I'll have a fiction book, and then I usually have an audiobook, something that I can listen to. Yeah. Like I'll put one earbud in while the girls are sleeping and Jack's having quiet time and like fold laundry or something like that. And her Life-Giving Home book is my current audiobook that I'm listening to.
Does she read it?
I don't think she's a narrator. She might be. I honestly didn't think to check, but it's on Spotify, and so I listened to that, and it's just really sweet, like as I'm folding laundry, to hear her say laundry is important.
Yes.
And here's the fun things you can do. I think I'm in October because the Life-Giving Home goes through every month of the year, and she talks about kind of how their family structured those months and fun things that they did. And then it was just kind of one of the things was, oh, it's a cozy season. Think about October. And then here's some cozy things you can do, or sweet things like that. So I like that book a lot.
She always talks about orienting your home for your family too, and gives specific ideas to how she did that. So each of her kids was different, as kids are in every family. Each child is going to be different. And so she made it her mission to figure out what each child was filled up by and then did things or would put certain scents in the air, or like make certain food or play certain music to meet the needs of her family. And knowing that her family's needs were different than every other family that they were around, and just made it her mission to serve her family well. And I just think she's a great listen, a great read. She has a great podcast.
Yep. This was my first year discovering her. And the first book I read by her was called The Ministry of Motherhood. And it's not a super long book, but it was super helpful. And she's a good role model for me to be able to look to and say, okay, I want to be this kind of mom with my children. And in like an idolizing way, but just like, you know, almost like a mentorship, but she doesn't know me.
She has an emotional too that has been very good.
Yeah.
I'm at the end of it now.
Is it newer? She has a new book called Well Lived, and I want to read that one. And then there's, I think, a newer devotional. She's a Charlotte Mason-y homeschool mom.
Yes.
She got that.
Yeah.
It's Mom Heart Moments, Daily Devotions for Life-Giving Motherhood. So I do that after my Bible reading. And then I have another devotional that I go through as well. And it's just been really encouraging for my mom heart.
So I read one of her books this year that could be on this list. I read the book Different, and she wrote it with her son.
Yeah.
And her son has all sorts of
I don't know, issues, I guess you could just say, like, learning issues. She homeschooled him and she just saw, like, he struggles in areas that her other kids didn't. She's got four kids like me, but she's got two boys and two girls and they're all grown now. And what I thought was really neat is he wrote this book with her about the struggles he had growing up, how he was different compared to the other kids in the home. And that's what it's called, different. And that was really good for me, because if you have a bigger family, then most likely you have one kid that kind of stands out in maybe like the educational realm or the social realm. And that's kind of how he was. And so he writes it with her and they just go back in life. And like, he says, this is what mom did for me here. And this is what worked. And it's really
sweet.
Yes.
So they show you mothering through this.
Yes.
He's willing to do that.
Yes. And I mean, they're not shy about the hard stuff. You know, like, I listen to her podcast too, and I've read her other books. So like, they don't leave the hard stuff out. Mm-hmm. And you're getting both perspectives. So he tells the story and then she tells her side of that story too. And that was so good for me. That's one of my favorite books.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but Life Giving Home, she writes with her daughter.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's one thing that I like too, is I knowing that she's an older woman who has children that are a testimony.
Yes.
To, it's not just her saying, oh, this is what I did, but that's not what truly happened. It's that it gives me more confidence to say, oh, okay, this is a good, this is a good method and things like that. She's really good.
I had also on this list, I'm reading Partners in the Gospel by Megan Hill. She's a pastor's wife who wrote this specifically for pastors and elders' wives. So you guys might be interested in it. It's Partners in the Gospel. So it's devotional style, and she has it broken up in, I want to say, joys and struggles. Mm-hmm. And then there's sections, and within those sections, you have like home life, church, the kids, or like, so she breaks it out. So you could go to the index there and you could look and say, okay, one of the titles might be when my husband is caught in sin. One of the titles might be when I feel like I'm a spiritual fraud. I think those are exact quotes. One might be like when the children are struggling. So you can go, you can pick one, and it's just a devotional size read, like a page or two. She has a scripture, and then she also has like a little thing to pray about, a little thing to like an action, a prayer, and a meditation or something like that. And I've just been going through it from start to finish so that I know what's in it, and I'm about halfway through. And I think the next one that I'm going to read is when you don't feel like hosting or something like that, like when hospitality seems hard, you know? So, I mean, I think it would be good even for women who aren't elders or pastors' wives, just if you serve a lot or you're in leadership, like you're not leadership, but that's specific for pastors' wives, and that's good. I've been plodding through When the Man Comes Around, Doug Wilson's Revelation commentary, which really helps me because I know eschatology is super controversial, but I have like a post-mill thinking in that. But Doug takes Revelation specifically and from a post-mill perspective lays that out. And that's helpful for me because Revelation has always been like, what does this mean? Right. So that is helpful. I really, really, really recommend that if you want a good book on quote unquote end times or eschatology. Let's see. So 1,000 Hours Outside podcast. Sometimes I get books off of there. They're not all Christian by any means. Like one that I'm reading, I don't know if I'd recommend it yet, but I'll say it just because I'm reading it. It's How to Be Your Best When Your Children Are at Their Worst. And it's more of a psychology. I want to say he may be a Christian, but it's definitely a psychology standpoint in like, let me see. I think I had it pulled up. Like basically how to slow down your interaction, control your emotions, have a sense of your child's needs and things like that. So I don't know if it's necessarily Christian, so go with caution on that one. But I do think that 1,000 Hours Outside does give really good book recommendations. A lot of them I've already had on my book list. And what I like is she'll interview them so you can listen to the podcast, get an idea of the book, and see whether you want to read that or not.
Doesn't she have a book now, too? I think she just wrote a book.
I think she does. And the whole 1,000 Hours Outside thing is really cool anyway. Yeah.
I'm reading Evidence Curious. Not Seen. I couldn't think of the
who wrote that
name of it. I'm only on the first chapter, but it came recommended by a friend that also recommended Unbroken, and it's Darlene Dibbler Rose. I think that's it. She's a World War II missionary, and she's ends up being prisoner and a woman's miraculous faith in the jungles of World War II. So she was a missionary and then was captured, and her husband dies while they're
that book sounds familiar
serving. But it came recommended. It, actually, we went to the conference with Michael Foster, and his wife did a talk, and she recommended it. And then my friend recommended Unbroken, and then also that one too. So I'm just starting it, but I've heard from multiple people that it's very good.
So a lot of mine were in this category. I've read with you and Kate this year, but another one was True Companion by Nancy Wilson. I never read that one, and that was a really good one for specifically for elders' wives. And I wish I would have known about it sooner, because that would have been it would have been helpful. And Brandon's been an elder 2-3 years, something like that, and it's just really helpful. It's just a helpful perspective of what your role is as an elder's wife or as a pastor's wife, how you can support your husband, love your husband in the middle of whatever he's going through with the church, whether it's a good season, a hard season, everything in between. And so I enjoyed that one a lot. I put this one on here, but I read it last year, but it's really good, called Be Still My Soul by Elizabeth Elliot. That one is fantastic, about how to basically surrender your life to the Lord and trust in his sovereignty, trust that he knows exactly what's going on, exactly what needs to happen, and how you can have peace, not when things are peaceful, but how you can have peace and assurance when things are not and when things are really hard. And some of the things that I learned from that book last year carried over for me in my heart this year and were really helpful. And there were some chapters I pulled out and was like, okay, I need a refresher here. And it's not a super long book. I think it's like just a little over 100 pages, maybe 150. It's super short. So I enjoyed that one a lot. Another one I read this year was Psalms for Trials by Lindsay Tollefson, I think.
Was that good?
It was very good.
Okay.
I liked it.
I have seen that one many times.
It gave just really good meditations on the Psalms. And you could pick it up, put it down. It wasn't one that you had to read all the way through. The chapters kind of stand alone. So you could do it like a devotional. You could do it like, for me, it was just, I have a moment, I'm going to read a chapter kind of thing. But it talks you through Psalms. It was obviously super heavy scripture focused, which I love. And she went verse by verse through some of them, and she just had some really good insights. And it was really cool. I really enjoyed that one a lot. That was probably my top one from this year. One that we went through with the kids during family worship was called Wise Up by Marty Machowski. I haven't heard of anything else that he's written, but we really enjoyed it. It went through the Proverbs, and Jack was 5 at the time. He just turned 6, which is wild, but he was 5 at the time. June is 3, and it was very easy for them to understand. They were very involved in family worship. At the end, it had a verse, and that at the beginning it had a verse. Then it had some commentary, and then at the end it had discussion questions, and they were able to interact really well with it. And Jack still remembers some of the Proverbs and some of the things we talked about, and we really enjoyed that one. That's probably our top from family worship category. Trying to think. I think everything else I read has been mentioned. But
any else? Any other books?
Oh, we read The Ladies in Our Small Group Read Hard Is Not the Same Thing as Bad by Abby Halberstadt, and that one was good too. I enjoyed that one a lot.
Cool. All right. Well, that is our books for 2024. Can't wait to do it next year and hear all the books we read.
Have to keep track this.
And keep good records this year, ladies. All right. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everyone. We want to thank you so much for listening to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast and continuing to come back. You guys have certainly been an encouragement to us, and we hope we've been an encouragement to you as well. We want to continue this work, and we need your help to do that.
If you'd head over to the Fruitful and Fearless website, it's just fruitfulandfearless.com. You can find memberships there that are different tiers. that contain different benefits to you as well. If you want to just support us for the heck of it because you're enjoying the show, that's always a blessing as well. But we try to make it even more worth it for you with recipes, groups for homeschooling and cooking, baking, natural health. We try to put as many resources on there as we can. But thank you for your support. It greatly helps our family.